Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
Boomer and Geo coming to you live for the Build Ford Tough studio on the Fan and CBS Sports Network. Boomer out today. He'll be back tomorrow. Nikki Cass in for Boomer this morning. We have talked Mets struggles, Yankees struggles. Didn't even got some exciting Giants talk from Nikki this morning. The Knicks head coaching search, which now has Timberwolves assistant Micah Norrie in the mix. If you want to talk about that, anything on the docket, 888-808-1019. We'll take some calls this segment, 888-808-1019. So at this point in, you know, we're talking about guys like, you know, the Rizzler and Hawk Tua and some of these internet sensations, and you've had some real staying power here. Like, where do you see, like, the content game going for you? So, you know, you've got your characters, you've got your extended family. If you go to Nikki's website, you can subscribe to that and get even exclusive content. Like, so, I mean, do you see this, like, forming into, like a YouTube series or something, like a sitcom type of thing? Like, where do you think you go?
You know, I think I've been doing the skits kind of like, you ever see, like, a woodpecker on the side of the house?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
I've been woodpecking this thing
yeah.
for a while, and it's fun. But I think, and I have a blast doing it. I think, though, for me, I really am passionate about the game. Like, I'm really passionate about baseball. And
yeah.
I think the we're in such a really good position right now to, we have, like, we know the players. We know a lot of guys with among the league and the network. And so I really want to bring back, you know, when I was growing up, there was different, like, either video series or like different things around the league that, like, inspired you to work hard and like be a good ball player and treat your equipment right. And like Wilson used to do this thing called Glove Day, and you'd hear the players talk about they take care of their equipment and, you know, like all these different things that really just made me into like the dude now. Cause like what I learned from the game, I translate into my work.
Yeah.
And so I'm really excited about the next move. We're making, we're creating this thing called Ball Player. And it's essentially like all the different intricacies of the game that make you into a good human being. And so I think the content is going to still be funny, but I also am really passionate. I want to build something that goes like beyond just like the Nikki Cash name. So I think Ball Player is going to be sort of the place to do that and kind of like build a community of guys. Because when I was growing up, yeah, I had a shovel in my car, and when it snowed, I'd shovel the batting cage so I can get my reps in, and like people thought I was nuts.
Yeah.
And I want to create something where people that are nuts can feel understood. So
we're
working on that. That's going to be coming pretty soon.
Well, I mean, listen, baseball is smart to use you, Major League Baseball, in any way that they can, because, you know, there's no doubt about it that the younger audience is being lost a little bit with baseball. I mean, and they could say what they want about, you know, digital numbers and this and that, but it's just, it's not the same as it used to be.
Yeah.
And you see guys like the John Boy guys that found a way in and done a really tremendous job of delivering baseball content in a way that appeals to younger people. And the same thing, I think, with you. I mean, they gotta take advantage of that stuff. And we talked about how the PGA Tour, like, has taken a long time to embrace the YouTube golf guys. But they're finally starting to do it a little bit, and they're getting it and saying, wow, this, instead of this looking at this as a competitor or looking at this as something that's detrimental or a joke for our serious game, like, this is what people want to see.
Yep.
If we can integrate the two, that'd be pretty damn good.
Yeah. Yep. I think nowadays, you know, everything's on the internet, and I think, you know, so many people have these brands, and, you know, a lot of the times it's regular people that you could gravitate towards. And so I think, you know, when you see the PGA do it, when you see Major League Baseball do it, and just these, I think we're going to reach a point where, you know, it's now the creators are going to have a lot more say in what's staying and what's going. And so, yeah, I kind of want to be the voice in the game, because, like, baseball taught me everything. And I do feel like, you know, the game today is very me, and not like team. And, yeah. you know, growing up, it was always like the name on the front of your jersey is better than, more important than the name on the back. And so I think we kind of lost that a little bit. And I want to bring that back in a good, positive way.
You know, just a couple days ago, it might have been last week, but I think it was last week. I told a story. It was my most embarrassing moment in youth baseball. Do you have one that you remember out on the field?
Oh, 100%.
Worse than the others?
Yeah, worse than the others.
Okay.
So I was very clammed up in middle school. Like, I was very afraid to, like, I would be out at second base, like, please don't hit it to me, please don't hit it to me, please don't hit it to me. And I was out playing second base. We had a very good middle. We had a lot of good baseball players that came through where I went to school, Nyack. And there was, like, the upperclassmen. I was in seventh grade. The upperclassmen, we kind of, like, had a lead. So then, like, the seventh graders would go in and play. And there was a man on second. And then there was a base coach, but that was a player with a helmet on at first. So nobody on first. But it looked like there was someone on first. The ball gets hit to me, Gio. I turn the craziest double play. Nobody's at first. And my coach, I can hear my coach, what the? Like, I'm turning this double play. What? And the whole team, what are you doing? And I'm like, what? I look, no one's running to second base. And... But mind you, the shortstop, like, feel like he came in for the double play,
yeah,
too.
Right.
And so we turn this fake double play, no one on first, get no outs. My coach reams me from the sideline. A couple pitches go by. Then he comes out and he goes, I got to be honest, though. That was a great turn. I'm like, all right. But then, you know, everybody started calling me E4 after that.
Oh.
Yeah, so like in middle school.
So you didn't get the guy out at first?
Nobody got out.
Oh, my God.
And it's your first time playing on the big field, too.
Yeah,
so,
yeah,
like,
right.
Everything is like a country mile. But, yeah, that was probably the most embarrassing moment of the fake double. I mean, that stinks.
I mean,
in front of all the upperclassmen, you're getting your moment, and, like, you turn a fake double play. I mean, and then they all start calling you E4 after that.
Yeah, I have to say, like, I'm not one to consider myself a one-upper, but I definitely had a worse situation. It was fifth grade, and it was a travel team we were on, and my coach was Neil Heaton, who I told you about last time, who had pitched in the majors as a reliever, the Yankees, the Cubs, the Pirates. And there were two top pitchers that year. One was my friend at the time, Jason Klein. He was sort of the guy who threw
what
much
happened?
Harder.
You guys not friends no more?
No, I don't see him anymore. I have no idea where he's. I don't know where he is. I have no clue. I haven't seen that guy in 20 years.
All right.
So so he would throw harder, and I was more like the finesse guy, you know?
Yeah.
So, like, I was more like the keep you off balance. You know, Neil
Open the box against this guy.
Yeah, like, you know, painting the corners type of thing. And, like, Neil taught me this, like, fake changeup where, like, the bottom would drop out of it. So, like, I was more the control guy. I was more like a Maddox guy, you know? So we were really good, and we hadn't lost a game like the entire year. So we get into the playoffs, and I just completely get the yips, like completely can't throw the ball.
Yeah.
So I'm telling you, that was the best year I'd ever had pitching in my life. In fifth grade was my peak, but I went out there, they totally confident. First playoff game, sending me out there. I bleep you not. I hit five batters.
Oh.
In a row.
Yeah, that's tough.
Before he took me out. So this shows you how much faith he had in me in turning around. But the fifth guy was enough. So, yeah, five hitters in a row, and he had to come out and get me. And then the parents on the other team are screaming at me, thinking that I'm doing this on purpose.
Yeah, that's...
And I'm like...
In the fifth grade?
In the fifth grade. I'm like, I'm not... Like, I don't want to do this. I'm not hitting you guys on purpose. But they all hated us because Neil was a former Major League Baseball player, and we all thought that, you know, like the kids would go up and get his autograph after the game or whatever. So
that's
like
hysterical.
It was horrible. So the next year, I mean, I deserved it, but I got cut.
No way.
I got cut.
Sixth grade?
Yeah.
Did it make you better?
It I think it did eventually.
It was
horrible. Yeah, I went from being like the pitcher who got the ball in the first playoff game to not being on the team.
Yeah, that's insane.
Oof.
Yeah, that's tough.
Yeah, five in a row.
That's tough. This one's not about me. It's about my best friend, my roommate in college, Perry. He is going to kill me for telling me this story, but it's very relevant.
What was his name again?
Perry.
Okay.
Perry Quartuccio. It's my guy.
Get out of here.
Yeah, I swear.
Oh, so, I went to school with a Quartuccio.
No way.
Yeah, it was a girl who graduated my class, Angela Quartuccio.
Apparently there's a lot of Quartuccios.
They're out there. Not as many half Shaq
Filipino,
riders.
No, not as many Shaq riders. But a lot of Quartuccios, half Filipino, half Italian. He's a pitcher, pitcher only. I played second base. At Montclair's the first week of practice. And we're like, they're cooking us. They're like 18 innings a day because you can only practice 3 days a week, like during the fall in Division III sports. And they're cooking us on these days. And so we're like doing inner squads. I'm playing all 18 innings. Perry's a pitcher. Perry finally gets his shot. This guy throws 16 balls in a row in the same exact spot, up and out. So he walks me, he walks the other guy, he walks another guy, he walks another guy. 16 balls in a row. Coach comes out, I'm like, you all right? He's like, yeah, that's right. Takes him out. I didn't see Perry for like 4 days after that. This guy, the yips got him so bad that he couldn't throw bullpens indoors because he would like hit the side of the gymnasium.
Oh my God.
It was so bad. So he stops playing after some time. He writes a book called Reaching Home Plate.
Get out of here.
Because of that moment.
Wow.
Imagine getting the yips so bad.
You write a book.
That you sit down during COVID for 5 months and write a book. And granted, like, the book's phenomenal.
And like years after the
years fact. After.
Wow.
This is what I need to do. Yeah. I need to write this book.
God, well, a lot of people go through it, man.
No, I mean, the yips, I mean, it's like the simple. I used to, when I played catcher in Little League, I couldn't throw the ball back to the pitcher.
Happened to me in a softball game with Boomer. So, like, I had the flashbacks. So, because of that game at fifth grade, it's the first time it happened to me. And then it started happening, like, later at pitching in high school. And I'd get afraid to, like, throw different pitches because I thought I was going to hit everybody again. So, that was over for years and years and years. So we're playing softball, and because Boomer reminds me of my baseball coach, I'm catching, and I can't throw the ball back to him.
Yeah, I get it.
And Jerry's laughing his ass off at me, and he's like, I started going underhand back to him.
Yeah, now I get it.
It was horrible. It's just, how does that happen to you?
It's just, it has a grip. It has a grip on you.
God.
Simple tasks, man.
Yeah.
It's the yips.
It's the yips.
You know?
And then you get the shanks and you get the yips.
Yeah, you get the shanks. You're done.
You're done.
You're done. No,
you just
got to
go home.
Pack it in. You're done.
And I feel like not mentally strong enough when you get the yips. I feel like I really start beating myself up over it.
And you know what? Like, I say to myself, I do some pretty cool things, right?
Yeah.
I can't throw the ball back to the frigging pitcher. What the frig?
No, what the frig is right. I know. Yeah, I that's another reason why we couldn't play softball anymore. I was like, I can't.
It's
I can't
just.
Yeah. Oh, God. All right, let's go to, our buddy NGXB. You got to check this guy out.
NGXB?
NGXB is unbelievable. He's one of the most talented guys I've ever seen play the piano. We had him at our kickoff this summer. What's up, NGXB?
How's it going? How's it going, guys? How's your morning going?
Great.
Unreal. NGXB. What is that? Like, what's your name? That's it?
No, so my full name is Nicholas George Xavier Blum. So that's why I go by my acronym, so you save on breath.
Yeah,
so
I like that. All right, NG.
Oh, yeah. No, perfect. So you were talking about a variety of things. First of all, I heard the for the Team Sky, and I was busy making my G Fuel in the morning. Also, and I hear Team Scott, and that's where we saw NGXB, and I pulled an Andrew Dice Clay, and I was like, oh! And I was like, I got to make a call, so...
Yeah, no, absolutely, man. That's where it all started, man. How did your performance at kickoff the summer go over with everybody in your life? Because I thought it was awesome.
Oh, it was amazing. It went very, very well. Even now, still when I'm doing a certain performances, people are like, weren't you on Boomer and Gio? And so it's amazing, and I'm tremendously grateful for all the opportunities that you've had me on your show. So thank you very much for that.
Yeah,
and absolutely. Amazing.
I mean, that was one of the highlights of the day. So you're going to be back at the golf tournament, or are you too big for that now?
Oh, no, I'm working on it. So I just reached out to the one contact who essentially had me perform for that. So hopefully I'll be there. I would love to be there again. I'm right now I'm free that evening, so I want to make it happen. So it'd be grateful to perform for Team Scott again.
All right. Absolutely, man. I hope to see you there. And keep grinding. You can find him on social media, NGXP. Yeah, this guy is like the most talented piano player.
NGXP, I'm going to look him up.
That I've seen who's not famous. Like, this is him at Kickoff the Summer. Like, he's just...
Holy smokes. NG. Oh, he took the shirt off?
It's unbelievable.
Good for him.
He does all this, like, because he knows Boomer likes classic rock, so he does all the classic rock stuff. He does, like, Bohemian Rhapsody and the Led Zeppelin and the this and the that and the... Guns N' Roses.
It's looks like a savage.
He really is.
Savage on the piano.
Yeah, he is indeed a savage. All right, let's go to Jennifer in Verona, New Jersey. What's going on, Jennifer?
Hi. Oh, my God, I'm so nervous. Thank you for taking my call. I love your show. I watched it every morning with my husband. It's, like, the best way to start the day. I had to call because I freaked out. Nick, I've been trying to get in touch with you. For 2 years, uh-oh. I'm a talent manager in the city.
Okay.
I've worked in entertainment for 25 years. Your content is so incredible. Your character work, everything, like just the sketches on Instagram, but like doing the deep dive into your websites and what you do in terms of marketing and what you do in terms of motivation, all of it. And I've been trying to get in touch with you. I called this guy who said he books your public speaking, and I'm dying to connect. Do you have rep? Like, what's going on,
Jennifer? I mean, we're on the air. I don't know who you spoke to first and foremost, but yeah, you know, this is a tough one because you've been trying to reach out for 2 years. I'm not going to give you any contact over the air. Maybe
We'll put her on hold
and we'll make sure that you get in touch with the right people. But whoever this public speaking guy is, not really sure if he's the right guy. So
his name's Sharone.
Nah. Nah.
Sharone.
Nope.
Well, he was about to book you for a public speaking engagement. So.
All right. Well, now let's get you on hold and figure that piece out.
Yeah,
that's crazy. I don't have anybody in that in that circle with that name.
All right, Jennifer, hold on. All right, and Al's going to talk to you.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Both of you are amazing. Thank you.
Thank you.
Wow. Yeah, I mean, some Sharones in there trying to book you.
Yeah, I mean, it happened. I've heard, you know, never heard of Sharone in my life.
I mean, you got to be able to . I mean, you probably don't look at like all your DMs. Like, it's impossible.
It's impossible. Thousands a day.
But there's got to be some other way to people. There's an email or something.
There's
email.
Yeah, I mean, listen, you can get ways. In contact with me if you want.
Right. Yeah. When a woman calls up and says, I've been trying to get in contact with you for 2 years.
I got to be honest with you. I know I've never done anything that would constitute a heart attack, but it still makes you go like, oh.
Yeah.
Something I don't know about.
Right. We're trying to get in touch with you for 2 years. We have a one-year-old together.
Are you sure?
Right.
Because
I named him Sharone.
Sharone. He's actually a talent manager.
Right. And my last name's Sack Rider. I'm Jennifer Sack Rider. You have a son named Sharone Sack Rider.
My own. Never ends.
Yeah. Pretty good. She's back on hold. All right, good. She's still there. All right, good. I thought she was like wanted to say something else. I'm like, no.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses like Rise Bakery connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
The Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
All right, Boomer and Geo on the Fan and CBS Sports Network. Got Jerry Recco one more time, another update and moment of the day for us. What's up, Jerry?
Well, hello. We are brought to you by Town Fair Tire. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody. Are we all good with the clip, the guard guys? Before I proceed, I just want to make sure. We're sure. Hold on, let me just finish real quick. I just got to finish the morning prayer, G, if you don't mind.
Oh, the morning prayer. Okay.
Morning prayer.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. I was just saying my morning prayers because if there is someone above, if there is someone looking down, it would be glory. It really would be glorious if this is the guy that your Knickerbockers ended up with. They are going to interview Minnesota assistant coach Mike Anori, who, I mean, he's not shy to the camera or the microphone. Hell, back in the day, he has done these halftime interviews like these.
Nothing, fast break points, boom goes the dynamite, there goes our lead. We got to treat Maine like you do the elf on a shelf on Christmas morning. You got to find him. You know, he makes everybody comfortable. He's like popcorn during Saturday night movies. Our paint defense was like 7-11, open 24 hours. Realize they had hits on like Donkey Kong the way they started out. First time all year that we were kind of on almost like a hot mess express.
Wow. This is incredible. I didn't know a damn thing about him.
He sounds very New York.
Well,
yeah,
of course they're
right.
Yeah, right. But I mean, wow. Yeah, I mean, they must have, you know, this must have been a guy that came up when Leon Rose was asking around the league about who the next assistant could be that could handle it. But it's just amazing to me. He's never been a head coach before, right?
I don't remember him as a head coach.
Yeah,
I don't know.
I mean, but you're really going to hand the keys over to a guy that said elf on a shelf. And
God, I hope so.
You just got to find it. I mean, wow. Yeah. What is it, a Hot Mess Express?
Hot Mess Express. He went boom goes the dynamite. God
yeah.
knows.
So. By the way, yeah. Speaking of that, I've referenced this many times, but I hadn't listened to the Met game on the radio all year. So Keith Radd actually made the Ozuna from the Braves reference last night. So, I mean, I thought that was a little ballsy. So if people don't know that. It's so when Marcelo Ozuna got pulled over for a DUI stop, he told the cop, you know who I am? I'm Ozuna from the Braves.
Dude.
And Keith Radd is introducing, you know, he's like doing the play-by-play last night on, coming up now is Ozuna from the Braves. And I was like,
hey, oh, dude, that's every time I see Marcelo Ozuna, that's the first thing that pops into my head.
I'm Ozuna
from the Braves.
Yeah, I have a problem with that, and I hope to God, like, I never have an incident where, like, people remember me for that one thing. But I really do have a problem when something happens, like, bad to somebody.
Yeah.
Like, I just immediately just think of that thing.
Yeah.
And not the rest of their lives. And I'm trying not to do that. Like, I mean, and Ozuna from the Braves is one of those things. Like, Greg Anthony with the tranny hooker is another one.
Have you thought of what you're going to say? I'm Gio from Boomer and Gio.
No. I'm just...
Mark Sanchez in the butt fumble. The guy, you know...
Yeah, right, yeah.
Every time I look at Mark Sanchez, I just see his face going into the O-line's ass.
Exactly. Damien Woody?
Yeah.
You know, it's Damien Woody's ass.
Yeah, and I mean, that's it. But then you take a step back and you're like, well, they did more than just that. Ozuna played a good career.
It was more than that one particular moment.
Yeah.
You know, but anyway, sorry, Jerry.
No, hey, look, I should be so lucky that we end up with Mike Anori and Luis Angel Acuña becomes his brother. We'll start with, I kind of lined it up with the Yankees first, so we'll do them, then we'll get back to the whole Met thing because Ronald Acuña is a big part of this, obviously. In Cincinnati, series opener, Yankees-Reds, and the Reds took game one.
1-2 pitch, swing on and hit to right field, hit well, going back Judge, he's on the track and gone.
Hey now.
Six rows deep, Ellie De La Cruz having a night. His third RBI this evening. That's his 18th home run. Takes his RBI total to 55.
That was Dave Sims with the call here on the Fan. Yeah, he did have himself a night. 3 for 3. Not only did he hit the home run, he also singled and tripled. He came the double short of the cycle, and 6-1 was the final score as the Reds took the opener from the Yankees. Aside from the Aaron Judge first inning home run, the Yankees did next to nothing offensively, and when they did put runners on base, they couldn't drive them in. Felt very Met-like with the whole runners in scoring position deal. They were 0-for-12. Here was Judge.
Yeah, I had a couple opportunities with guys on base and, you know, pop one up, fly out there. I got to get the job done there, but I think it's just going back to guys having intent, going up there with a plan and trying to execute.
And Alan Winans made the start for the Yankees. Who is Alan Winans? He says got hurt the second time through. As he will tell you, he thought he felt pretty good in the beginning of this game, and then things kind of unraveled on him.
Yeah, you know, I think I pounded the strike zone and was able to attack these guys. I feel like we had a really good plan in place before the game. And the first three innings were pretty smooth. I feel like I was getting some early contact and pitches were working how I wanted them to. But a couple hit by pitches and a couple middle fastballs, kind of would like those back a little bit.
No doubt. Gavin Lux did homer for Cincinnati as well in this game. That's 8 losses in 11 games for the Bombers. They will hand the ball off to Carlos Rodon tonight. He will take on Chase Burns. We will have it for you right here on The Fan. All right, back to the Mets. They did take on Ronald Acuna Jr. And the Braves. And who would be the star of this game? So Juan Soto had an opportunity. He had Acuna hits the home run early. A couple of sack flies. The Braves had a 3-0 lead. Soto comes up in the sixth, mashes the ball to left center. 2-run homer. All good. It's now 3-2. In the eighth inning, Soto up again. Couple of guys on. 2 outs. Not quite the same result.
So now that fastball's in the mind of Soto. 3-2. Nimmo ready to run. Here's the payoff pitch. Swung on and missed strike three.
It is a nasty
pitch. Got him with
pitch.
A slider.
It's disgusting.
And that retires the side.
Yeah, yeah. It's not like he swung and missed at a fastball right down the middle.
That at bat that he worked though.
Yeah.
He was in that at bat the whole time.
That's a tippy cap spot right there.
Yeah, right there. I mean, what do? He fouls off a few pitches. I think it was like a 9-pitch at bat and just drops that thing in there. See ya. Good night.
By the way, what is Major League Baseball doing, too? We've talked about this many times. You talk about what a great pitch that was. Can we get the umpire cam as an alternate feed to these games?
Yeah, it would be
such a cool way to watch a game, but they don't do it.
I know. It's a little, like, shaky for me.
Understood.
I know you love it. But if you could get it more fixed, which is impossible because it's on the dude's head, I would appreciate it. But I know what you mean.
Maybe a catcher cam.
Yeah, that might be a little more steady.
To see the...
Yeah.
I would just want to see the fastball.
Yes.
Like, you know what I mean?
I mean, you've probably faced
Let me tell you something. I faced the fastest pitch I've ever faced was 98 miles an hour. In high school, the guy got drafted by the Cleveland Guardians. He was from Beacon. His name is Lenny Torres. He's still in the farm system. And when I tell you that thing sung, it sung. And the thing too was our coach. So do I have time to tell this real quick?
Yeah, of course.
So we're warming up, right? And it was like a big game. It was a night game, Friday night game under the lights. We had just gotten this beautiful turf field, and we've never played this team before. We're warming up. All of a sudden, in the left field bullpen, you hear, poof, poof, poof. And we're like, "What the heck is that?" It's Lenny warming up.
Oh, God.
And so we're like, "Uh oh!" I mean, this guy's throwing laser beams. Our coach brings us aside, Joey D, who I've talked about once before, which I'm actually playing golf with him on Thursday. This is going to be interesting. he pulls us aside and he goes, "So guys, tonight the pitcher he kind of gets it up there. He's going to throw about 88 to 89. We're like, "All right, like 88 to 89 is quick, but it ain't no 95, 96. First pitch of the game, I'm batting third. First pitch of the game. I'm like, "What? 88, 89. Second pitch. 1, 2, 3. I get up there. I take the first pitch. I didn't even see the thing. I'm here. I'm like, "What?" Umpire strike. Then he actually came up and in. He threw a fastball. Hit me in the wrist. Broke my wrist on the fastball. Up and in. Yep. But like, Jesus. Come to find out, the Phillies are there. The Mets are there. The Guardians are there. They get topped out at 98 miles an hour.
Oh, my God.
I don't even think he threw 88 once.
Right, a change of
adrenaline.
You know?
Yeah.
Oh, that sucks. You had those scouts there, and then you break your wrist.
Oh, I broke my wrist, right? Dude, the worst pain I ever felt. I got the video I got to show you, but it was wild.
And to your point from earlier with the golf swing and how guys throw the ball so hard, have you ever... So the fastest I ever faced was 87, I believe, in high school. That was it. Oof. You ever throw in one of those radar cages?
Oh yeah.
And you're like, "All right, how close to 80 can I get?" And then you feel as lame as and just a loser. 51 pops up.
You think well, granted, when I was playing college I could get it up in the upper 80s, but now that I've like since stopped playing, I'll think that I got fuzz.
Mm-hmm.
And I get a radar 73.
Well, we had a conversation. Boomer still thinks that Ron Darling could throw 80 miles an hour. And I'm like, "There is no way."
Ron Darling?
Boomer thinks Ron Darling can still throw 80 miles an hour. And he's 63, I think.
I don't think so. Yeah. I mean, but again, Manny Ramirez is hitting bombs in Japan.
Yeah.
And what's Manny Ramirez, 60?
No,
that's bad on me. He's got to be 50s. That's bad on me.
Is he going to be 53 or something? 53? Maybe? Something
but like he's that. Still like effortlessly hitting bombs.
I think it's different, though, than throwing.
Yeah, you might be right.
I could be wrong, but I think it would be different. Here's Carlos Mendoza. Why is this offense gone limp here over the last couple of weeks?
I think it's a combination of a lot of things, especially when you're chasing a lot. And it feels like during this stretch, we're getting down early in games, and then the at-bats are pretty much completely different.
Yeah, and here's Juan Soto talking to you. Now, he's been great in June, but the lineup as a whole has not. What has gone wrong?
It just happens, you know. The season is going to be up and down, so, and, you know, things happen. I think these guys are trying their best to come through, and, I mean, as a team, we all trying to come through in big situations and try to put some runs for the bullpen and the starter, but it ain't happening right now.
Speaking of starters, the Spencer Schwellenbach seems to have the Mets' number. 7 innings again for the win. He is now 6-4. Paul Blackburn wound up taking a loss for the Mets. He couldn't even get out of the 5th inning. He allowed 3 runs. Doesn't sound terrible, but he gave up 6 hits and walked 3 over just 4 2/3. And so the Mets are now 1-9 in their last 10. Now 13 games over 500 at 46-33. Atlanta, while still far behind the Mets, only 8 back on the loss column, which sounds crazy, but when you played the clips of the gay Mets last year, you know, in June, it wasn't looking so good for the Mets, and then all of a sudden, here they came, passing team by team by team by winning series after series.
Gay so. Mets!
Yes, and they got me to my 82 wins and my my winning bet, so
yep.
We shall see with Atlanta. Tonight, Frankie Montas will make his first Mets start against Spencer Strider, another guy who is not too shabby. Just a couple of other quick notes before we get to moment of the day. You had Cal Raleigh hit another home run, number 32 of the season. The Mariners beat the Twins 11-2. The Celtics reportedly trading Jrue Holiday to the Blazers. There's going to be a lot of activity and rumors over the next day or so with the NBA because you've got the draft coming up tomorrow night, I believe, in Brooklyn again. So that'll take place tomorrow. And yes, you've got Dylan Harper and Ace Bailey.
All right. So we got to ask you about this.
Yeah.
Dylan Harper probably going to go second overall. Ace Bailey cancels a workout with the Sixers. I guess he wants to go to a team that is outside of the top 4. Do you think that's what's going on?
I don't know.
Or you think he's slipping because he's acting immature?
I don't know the answer to this. Here's what I know. I watched the kid all year long. I've never seen someone love playing basketball more than Ace Bailey. Doesn't matter where, for who. I find it hard to believe that he's doing this on his own. I would think he is being directed or guided in this direction. But
yeah.
I don't know. I have no idea. I know the kid loves basketball more than anything else. So I hope he's a Brooklyn Net after tomorrow night. That's what I hope.
There's a good chance.
I hope so.
There actually is. So
yeah, I hope so. Like, why wouldn't you want to go to Philly?
I don't know.
Doesn't make sense to me.
Yeah,
so.
I mean, that'd be a place you would think. I don't know. I don't have an answer. I'd just be making stuff up if I gave you an answer.
Let's go, Sean Marks. Let's go. Let's get it done. Let's move up a couple of slots and get to wherever they got to go, 4 or 5 or whatever. They're sitting at 8 right now with a million first-round draft picks, as you know, because they got that from the trade.
Yeah, that's right.
Yep, mm-hmm. That's right. All right, let's get to moment of the day because this is an interesting one. You guys were talking about this new transfer to Fairfield. Her name is Jalen Sackrider, and you guys were obviously taken by her name, and Gio was quite impressed by, if you go back generations, to the fact that the name has remained the same.
How did Grandpa Sackrider not change the name, you know? Like, he must have been the toughest son of a bitch in the world.
Let me tell you something. This is why, that's the best thing I've ever heard.
I mean, it is legit. And I'm thinking, like, this is going to go viral somehow. Like, someone's going to get a hold of this.
If I'm Miss Sackrider, I'm not changing. As a matter of fact, the guy that I marry is changing his last name to Sackrider. How you doing? I'm Mike Sackrider. This is my wife.
I thought you were Mike Jones. I was.
I was. But the Shaq Riders, they just kind of... I'm changing the whole family lineage. So I could walk around... I may even go get a PhD. So now people call me Dr. Shaq Rider.
Yeah, I mean, I can't... Like, those discussions had to have happened at some point.
100%.
Like, someone sat around and was going like, Do we roll with this or do we not roll with this?
They call a family meeting.
Right.
Everybody who's in support of the Sack Riders stand on the right. This poor girl, she's probably sleeping right now.
Yeah, I know.
We're bashing Sack Riders out of here.
There you go, guys. Moment of the day.
That is too good.
Thank you, Jerry. Appreciate
Thanks,
it. We will see you soon. Are you tomorrow from home?
We'll talk about it after the show.
Okay. All right.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses like Rise Bakery connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
All right, Boomer and Geo on the Fan and CBS Sports Network. Who's your best friend in the content creator business right now?
My best friend.
Do you have one like where you like you bouncing stuff off each other and be like, hey, this worked, that worked?
You know, I got to give two shout outs.
Yeah.
I got to give one shout out to Marcelo Hernandez.
Okay.
On SNL.
All right.
That guy is a genius. He's funny. And he's like funny in person as
well.
Okay,
good.
And I got to give a shout out to my man Shane Gillis.
Oh, God. He's the best.
He is. That guy is amazing.
And you're friendly with him. You know him?
Yes.
That's awesome. That's great.
So it's funny. They just announced he's going to be doing the ESPYs.
Oh, no, Shane Gillis.
Perfect. It's perfect.
Oh, nice.
It's perfect. I always like talking to the stand-up guys because I can never do that.
Yeah.
And like they have such a like a different look on comedy and funny.
Right.
And Shane's a lot like just a, like more of a normal guy.
Yeah.
Marcelo, normal guy as well. Hysterical in person.
I mean, yeah.
Hysterical.
Yeah, Shane is as funny as it gets right now. And
that's crushing it.
Good for the ESPYs going a little bit off the beaten path for them.
I love that play.
Because they haven't done something like that since the Norm MacDonald monologue, which I've probably said this story 10 million times, but I'll do it again, where Norm MacDonald finished his monologue back in the 1998 ESPYs, and Boomer was in the crowd during this, and he was congratulating Charles Woodson on his Heisman. And he goes, Charles Woodson, well, you won the Heisman, and congratulations, you won the Heisman Award. Everybody claps. And he goes, and they can never take it away from you unless you kill your wife and a waiter.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
And they go out to the crowd, and Ken Griffey Jr. is like, oh.
That's insane. But I'm interested to see what Shane Gillis cooks up.
Oh,
man.
He'll definitely. I mean, he's not going to go out there and be PG and vanilla.
No,
so.
I don't. But also too, he gets ball. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
big
yeah.
Notre Dame fan.
Sure.
Yeah. He's a good dude, man.
Yeah. Did you ever think about auditioning for SNL?
You know, again, it's not really like I enjoy my simple life, like. I enjoy my routine. I enjoy, you know, the business. I enjoy having the people that I love to work with.
You want to be your own boss type of thing all the time?
I just don't want to, like, I don't want to step into that world because it never really was for me to begin with. I like making people laugh at my own arm's length distance, and I don't want to really step into, like, that Hollywood scene. Yeah.
I mean, there's nothing about that entices you at all. Like,
not at all.
See, I mean, I always thought, like, you know, back in the day, that had to be one of the coolest jobs ever.
Yeah.
You know, if you could get on SNL and you could write some sketches and you could be out there and perform and, I mean, you know, be in character.
Yeah. But you know what, though, G? Like, I have so many different things that I love and I'm passionate about that have nothing to do with like comedy.
Yeah.
Like I love food. I love pizza. Like I know that sounds weird, but like I have a weird obsession with like pizza and how the dough's made and like all this. So I like creating stuff. Like I just got Butcher Block. I'm redoing my kitchen.
Yeah.
I'm obsessed with Butcher Block. You ever seen like a nice Butcher Block?
The best.
Oh, the best.
Yeah.
I was in Home Depot the other day to go pick it up. All the lights were off in Home Depot. The power went out. And I'm like, I didn't know if I was like in a horror movie or a Disney movie.
I was gonna say I would run right out of there.
It was but point being is like nah, I, like those you got to really love comedy.
Yeah,
I'm not like in love with comedy. Like I like make people laugh. I love screwing around and busting balls. But like after we're done busting balls, I'm gonna go work out and probably like watch Our Planet on Netflix.
Yeah, I understand. Hey, that's admirable of you. And you know, if that's what makes you happy and that's what makes you centered and yourself, yeah, then stick with it. And speaking of food, you and Al, I meant to bring this up earlier, but you and Al are two peas in a pod. You guys eat very, very clean. You're all about the ingredients. You brought just straight ground beef.
I got ground beef, 93.7 organic ground beef, Al. You hear that? And I got avocado, half an avocado. Actually, you could go. I brought a whole cooler. I have an extra one if you want. Because I didn't know how long I was going to be in the city today. God forbid I didn't have at least 50 grams of protein at the ready. I got strawberries, organic strawberries. I like to. Yeah, I'm that guy. Like I am. In college, my buddies will tell you I had a bag of grilled chicken that I'd bring with me everywhere I'd go. I'd have peanut butter. I'd weigh all my. I'd have food scale. I get my water intake. You know, I like being regulated. My dad thinks I'm nuts.
Well, I think, you know, a lot of people do what you're in. I mean, but it's the right way to do it. You're healthy.
Yeah.
And Al's trying. Like Al wants to be a advice giver when it comes to nutritionist in a way that bring people to grocery stores.
Yeah, I want to take people grocery shopping.
Oh, wow. Okay, see, I'm in on that. Like, I don't know if I would do it per se, but I get people, again, like, what I'm about to say is, like, maybe get this guy checked out. Nothing excites me more than, like, going into the egg aisle and seeing all the accolades on the egg canister. Omega-3.
Accolades.
Pasteurized, pasture raised, free range. Like when I crack that egg into the pan, I get the same feeling that people probably do cracking open a beer. Like I love it. Like the orange yolk. Someone stop me, please, because I'm gonna run past the time of the show if I keep going.
I was gonna say the orange or the yolk, the more exciting it is.
Oh man, you're telling me.
That's right.
You know what I mean?
You ever get like the real eggs from like someone's backyard?
I haven't done that yet, but I can't wait for the day. You could order like a half of a cow and like they'll send it to you frozen. So you get like all the ribeyes and the strip steaks and the ground beef. And my face is lighting up. I know everyone listening to this in their car.
Again. Get the ribeye.
Maybe you could hear my smile through the thing.
Get the porterhouse.
But wait, before we're running out of time, Eddie, can you please? Can you just rip a quick Jason Witten?
Ibuku! So it's funny. He just brings us up unsolicited. I didn't ask him, you have a favorite drop or anything. He goes, my favorite drop that Eddie plays is the Jason Witten Ibuku, Ibukui.
Ibukui, Ibukam. It's amazing. I had to hear it just once.
Oh, my gosh.
That's good stuff.
Now I got to hear it again.
Go ahead.
Ibukuyum. It's so hard to say what he said.
Unbelievable.
Ibukuyum.
It's easier to say the full sentence in English.
Ibukuyum.
Ibukuyum.
Oh, it is great. He really blew that whole thing, huh?
Yeah, tough.
Tough guy.
Great tight end, though.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.